do welcome you tonight on another Wednesday evening to our Bible study as we continue our survey of the New Testament. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in this name, and then after this Bible study, we encourage you in your homes to seek the Lord's face. We need to pray in these days, and we cannot overemphasize the need for prayer. And we trust that you will continue to pray for us, for the work of God, and for the needs of the congregation, and the needs of our land, this world at this time. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight in the precious and peerless name of the Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for enabling us another Wednesday evening to come under the sound of Thy Word. And we pray that the Holy Spirit tonight will take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts. That, Lord, Thou wilt anoint our eyes with eye salve that we may see. We pray that Thou wilt touch these lips of clay that we might speak faithfully the Word of God. We pray that Thou wouldst give us that help from heaven. And oh, we pray, Father, that Thou wouldst grant that we might be enabled by Thy Spirit to set forth Thy truth. And we pray, O God, that tonight there'll be understanding given to each person who's listening. We pray that the Word of God will be opened to us in these days, that we will receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save our souls. We pray that we'll know what it is to be built up in our most holy faith, and drawn ever closer to the side, the wounded side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray for our congregation at this time that Thou wilt bless it. Remember each brother and sister in Christ. Remember each family, each need, every challenge that people are facing in these days, whether it's a challenge with their health, whether it's a challenge in the workplace, whether it's challenges with children in school or those youth at university. Lord, the various challenges that we face in our day-to-day experience, we pray that Thou wilt help each one, encourage our hearts in the things of God, draw us ever closer to Thyself tonight. And Lord, breathe upon us, Lord from heaven, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Promise of the Father given, send us now at Pentecost. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Our study has brought us tonight to the book of James, the general epistle of James. And we're reading from James chapter 1, verse 1. James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Or let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. James, the general epistle of James. You could write over this epistle the words faith and works. You see, real Christian faith results in good works. Chapter 2, verse 17, we read these words. Chapter 2, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. The same chapter, verse 24, you see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The evidence of a person being truly converted to the Lord Jesus Christ is seen in the life. We must live out our Christianity. And how do we live out our Christianity? By good works. Letting the world know that we are truly the children of God, that we are truly new creatures in Christ, that we have been truly born again of the Spirit and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Cairns said this: a living faith in Christ produces a faithful life for Christ. A fruitless faith is dead, and dead faith is not saving faith. Some would contend that this book, the book of James, teaches salvation by works. Some prominent people actually had that view. Some statements of James ring strange in the ears of those who have studied the epistles of Paul. For example, in the book of Romans, where Paul teaches that we are justified by faith alone. While here in James chapter 2, verse 24, James says, ye see how that a man by works, a man is justified, and not by faith only. That sounds like a flat contradiction of Paul, though careful study shows it is not. What James is actually teaching is that faith that has no fruit is dead, and therefore cannot see it. And Paul taught exactly the same thing. It is worth noting that James, in emphasizing the necessity of works, speaks of those who are rich in faith, while Paul, in emphasizing the necessity of faith, speaks of Timothy, who was rich in good works. So there's no contradiction. I remember a lecturer in college. He brought to our attention a book that is entitled Seeming Contradictions in Scripture. Seeming contradictions. But when you look at these seeming contradictions, they are not contradictions at all. It's important to compare Scripture with Scripture, and to look at it as a whole. Not to just pull one verse out and take it out of context and try to make it mean something that it doesn't really mean at all. It's worth underlining the four fundamental themes that James emphasizes in his epistle. First of all, he emphasizes the revelation of God. Look at chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And here is the revelation of God, the Father of lights. Again, chapter 3, verse 9. Turn over there in the book of James to chapter 3, verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God, the Father. Again, chapter 4, verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? The Father of lights, the Father, the lawgiver. Chapter 5, verse 4. Behold the hire of laborers who have reaped down your fields, which of you is kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. He's the Father of lights, he's the Father, he's the lawgiver, he's the Lord of Sabbath. What a revelation of God. A fourfold revelation of God in this epistle of James. And then there's the revelation of Christ, chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. It says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called, the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a worthy name he has. And he gives three wonderful descriptions of that worthy name. Chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. What a title that is. What a description it is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's also the Lord of glory. And then chapter 5, verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of glory. But he's the judge, the great judge who standeth before the door. And so we have the revelation of God in this wonderful epistle. We have the revelation of Christ. But then we have the doctrine of Scripture. Chapter 1 has many references to the Word of God. Perhaps even in reading it and hearing it read tonight, you've noticed the references to the Word of God. Look at verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth. This Bible that we have is the Word of truth. It's the Word of truth. Look down to verse 21 of the same chapter, chapter 1. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. It's the engrafted Word. The engrafted Word. Again, verse 25, chapter 1. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, it's the perfect law of liberty. And then going on to chapter 2, verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, it's the royal law. And when we look at that term there, the royal law, there's a reference to the orthodox doctrine of Scripture as the very authoritative Word of God. And see how he describes in this epistle the supernatural power of the Word. You see, God's Word, my friends, has supernatural power with it. It's like a mirror. Chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. If any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's speaking about the Word again here. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. Where he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The mirror of God's Word. You look into the mirror of the Word. Thank God for that revelation. As we look into the mirror of the Word of God, it's like a mirror. And this Word is the instrument that God uses in the new birth. Chapter 1, verse 18, of His own will, begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The Word of truth, the instrument that God uses. And it is the implanted seed that God uses to produce the fruit of salvation in the lives of His believing people. Chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Oh, how we thank God for the Word of God, the Scriptures of truth. The impact of God's Word upon our lives. Now God has used His Word, which is quick and living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, in bringing us to salvation, faith in Christ. The revelation of God here, the revelation of Christ, the doctrine of Scripture, but the doctrine of salvation. You go back then to chapter 1, verse 18, which we've referred to. Chapter 2, verse 7. Do ye not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called. We are called unto Christ. Chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. And you can look through those verses again and see the emphasis upon the doctrine of salvation. Faith and works linked inseparably together. People say they have faith, but it's not evidenced in their lives. There has to be the evidence of that faith. And the evidence of that faith is works. And so we have here four fundamental themes in this great epistle. Revelation of God, the revelation of Christ, the doctrine of Scripture, the doctrine of salvation. And in this epistle, James follows one great central theme, and it is this: godly practice is the identifying mark of God's people. Godly practice is the identifying mark of God's people. You see, first of all, he was concerned about the church's place in the world. The church's place in the world. And those to whom he wrote were under great pressure. They were living in the world, and we are living in the world. Let us not think that we are out of the world. We are in the world. But we're not to be of the world, of course. And as we are in the world, we are in pressure, in great situations of pressure many times. They were being tested and tried in every hand. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. You've despised the poor. Do not rich oppress you? Rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat. Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? And so, they were being tried, put under pressure. And so it is in the world in which we live tonight. Maybe you feel at this very moment greatly under pressure. Maybe it's pressure in your family. Maybe it's pressure in your workplace. Pressure because of the stand you take for the Lord. The stand for Scripture. And there are those who blaspheme and who would draw you before the judgment seat and seek to pronounce sentence upon you. Chapter 5, verses 4 to 6. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. The cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just. And he doth not resist you. And so these Jewish believers were under tremendous pressure, poor, worked to death, dragged into court, defrauded of their wages, in some cases murdered. What does James urge the people of God to do? And what are we urged to do today? As we are being pressurized and tried, and you're in a situation today where you feel under immense pressure and under intense pressure. He says, be patient. Look at chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. He says this, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We're to be patient. Look at chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. In a word, he directed them to get their eyes upon Christ, and especially on his coming as the judge of all. And you read down these verses. Be ye also patient. Chapter 5, verse 8. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Patience. We count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, verse 11, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Patience. Ye have need of patience. The Bible says, patience in the midst of trials. Patience in the midst of troubles. Patience in the midst of testings. Is the Lord trying your faith? Is the Lord testing you? In your situation and circumstances that have befallen you right now, be patient. That's what the Lord is saying to us. And so, he was concerned about the church's place in the world. And then secondly, he was concerned about the world getting into the church. The world getting into the church. Chapter 1, verse 27. He says, pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflicts, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. He speaks here about pure religion. This was his concern, that the people of God would not be defiled by the world. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And these concerns expressed by James makes this epistle so relevant for today. How vital it is. And in the day in which we live, as we face today's pressures, the pressures of this 21st century, the pressures of 2021 that are put upon us by this present evil world, that we do not let the world infiltrate our lives. Do not the world infiltrate the church. We're in the world, as we said before, we're not to be of the world. We're to be separated unto God. Or to not love the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We work in the world. We rub shoulders with the world. But we're not to be tainted by the world. And addressing these twin concerns about the church in the world and then the world getting into the church, James expounds this central theme in a very simple but very far-reaching manner. He's arguing that a living faith produces a faithful life. May the Lord help us to study this book. And by the aid of the Holy Spirit of God, to live a life that is glorifying to God, preserving our testimony in the midst of an increasing sinful society. To be as lights in the midst of this dark world. To stand firm and true for the Lord Jesus Christ. the Lord teach us through this book. And it's a very practical book. It's a book that reaches out to us, shows us how to practice Christianity, how to live Christ in a wicked world. May God help us to follow the teaching of this book. You may want to take your chapter summaries, as we've been advising you to do. 5 chapters here, quite easy for you to think of a verse maybe that will you'll be able to retain, or maybe just a word that will remind you of that chapter as you study through the book of James. You may take a key verse. There are many you could take. I have taken chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Surely, that's a key verse. We need wisdom to live the Christian life, to live for the Lord in this sinful age in which we find ourselves. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We commend the book of James to you. Trust that you will study it. It will be a blessing to your soul. Let us come to the place of prayer tonight. And as we do, we want you to remember the families of the church. We do seek to set aside time each month to pray for our families, family members that are not saved, family members that have particular health needs, and those right across the family circles of our church. And then also, let's give thanks to the Lord in prayer. So often we forget about this. How many answers to prayer we've had. How many times the Lord has stepped in and the Lord has answered prayer. I want to give thanks to the Lord too. Remember those too who have issues of health, and even at this time we think of our sister Mary going through her treatments now. They've started, and pray each day as she goes that the Lord's hand of healing will be upon her. For others too that are going through sickness. Our brother Carl Stripp, remember Carl in your prayers and his need at this time in the hospital. Remember Maureen, his wife, and remember others in our congregation who have issues of health and going through various situations and need our prayers at this time. Remember our brother Stephen Brown, says, for this consultation, pray that the Lord will help our brother Stephen from our Dunmurry Church. The hand of God will be upon him in healing, and pray for his family this time too. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word that has come to us with freshness and with power. We thank you for this epistle of James, and Father, we pray that you'll write it upon our hearts, and Lord, that you'll help us to live out thy word day by day and to follow its teachings. And O God, in the midst of trials and times when we're pressurized and times, Lord, when we're under O God, tremendous pressure, we pray that thou wilt help us to stand firm and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. Father, we do pray for our congregation that you'll bless us in these days. We come back soon to our church services again, face to face. We pray for thy blessing upon your word, even as it goes out online, as you continue to bless it for your glory, to the salvation of souls, to the building up of thy people. We pray, O God, that you will strengthen the saints of God in these times. Encourage families, Lord, and we pray that you'll meet every need within those families. The need where there is sickness, we pray for healing. Think of our brother Carl Stripp. We pray for thy touch upon her. Remember Maureen, too, at this time, that thy touch will be upon her as well. And we pray, O God, for others that need our prayers. Think of Mary going through these weeks of treatment, that thou wilt be with her and help her and touch her and minister to her needs. And we pray that she may know the help of God. We pray for others in our congregation who have loved ones who are ill or awaiting appointments themselves. We pray that thou wilt help them and bless them, and that thou wilt encourage them, that they may know thy blessing, and Lord, that they may know thy touch upon them. We remember, O God, too, those who have sorrow. We pray for comfort for those who have experienced sorrow in these times. We ask of thee, Lord, that you remember, O God, the needs of families too, whether those who are not saved, a husband, a wife, sons and daughters, children, grandchildren, brothers and sisters who are yet not saved. Lord, we pray that thou wilt save them, even at this time, that thou wilt work on hearts, that wilt bring precious souls to know thee and to trust thee as their Savior. Move across our community, we pray. Grant, Lord, that you'll bless your word as it goes forth, right across our land and across the world. That will bless our missionaries and the needs that there are right across the world at this time. We pray that thou wilt move in answer to prayer for thy praise and honor and glory. Lead us out now in prayer in our homes. Give us the spirit of prayer and of supplication. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We trust now you'll meet for prayer at home and seek the Lord's face for these matters we've brought to your attention. May God bless you, and thank you for joining us online this evening.